Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 21st, 2015. What's going on? How are ya? How you doing? I just yelled at, like, you know, like your mom would yell down the street, Jeffrey, come to fucking dinner. Remember that shit? When you could play outside? You know, without adult supervision, because people weren't afraid that there was a fucking pedophile behind every goddamn tree. Remember that shit? Your mom would come out, we had like a dinner bell, and you and your 12 brothers and sisters would come running up the fucking driveway like cattle. You don't remember that shit? Yeah, you guys all just fucking, you just, the day started, right? Your mother would just open the door like, get the fuck out of here. Get out. That was like parenting back then during summer vacation. They just opened the door and they let you outside. They did the same thing with their dogs. There was no leash law or anything. You just had like neighborhood dogs. They just fucking walked around. And that's the same thing they did with kids. They just opened the door. Get out. Go outside and play. Come back at lunch. Right? And after lunch, you go back out again. You know, and then they'd be, all right, come back out. Come back when the streetlights come on. Come back, you know, when it gets dark or whatever. Watch your little brother. That was it. I think parenting was a lot easier back in the day because you were allowed to just send your kids outside. Just having them standing in the backyard like those fucking llamas. You ever see that shit? You drive down the street and you see a fucking llama. There's so many goddamn llamas in this country. I don't understand it. They're not indigenous to this country, and I don't know what, how people are making money off of them. You don't ever see that shit in the grocery store, do you? You know, llama steaks, llama shanks. It's like that fucking guy in with the shrimp boat in that fucking movie with Tom Hanks when he had this George Stalin haircut, Joseph Stalin, Forrest Gump. I don't know. What the fuck am I talking? Yeah, you can just fucking send your kids outside. All right. Get outside. You filled them up with sugary cereal and you just sent them outside. And then you went outside, you ran around, and you just ran into other kids. And then somebody had a book of matches, and then you just lit the woods on fire. Basically, I mean, I'm fast forwarding through most of my childhood experiences, but that's basically what you did. They just fucking let you out. Man, that seems pretty cool to me. If you were a stay-at-home mother, right? You got four fucking kids. You're going out of your mind. You're going out of your mind, right? Your husband goes to work every day. What's he do? He's a milkman. He's a postman. He's something that has a man at the end of it, right? Because jobs were for fucking men back then, right? They had it figured out. Hey, sugar tits, you stay... You stay home with the kids. Hey, don't you backtalk me. I have a penis. You shut your face. Quit your crying. Quit your crying in front of the kids. You fucking stay home. All right? What are you crying about? Didn't I buy you an oversized jar of Fluffernutter in the cabinet? What do you got to do, huh? You got to grab some fucking white bread out of a bag. You got to take off the twisty tie. That's your big part of your fucking day you're bitching about. I got to deliver milk to everybody. It's in fucking glass bottles. Do you know how much pressure that is? Right? He just fucking leaves her at home. He goes off to work. He's a fucking milkman or a postman, and somehow he can afford a house. Because the bankers were actually semi-regulated back then. The upper 1%, the fucking lunatics up there, they fuck each other at these parties wearing owl masks and whatnot. Something with horns on it. Right? Walking around wearing sheets. These fucking guys, the middle class, you could have a stay-at-home mother, a stay-at-home wife. So you went off to work in your fucking truck in your silly little uniform looking like a character actor on Alice, right? And then she fucking stayed home. What does she do? Everybody gets up. She's like, oh, Jesus Christ, right? She takes out a pack of fucking Pall Malls, some Kools, maybe some Marlboros, whatever the fuck. She's some Winstons. What the fuck did women smoke back then? You know, it's so funny. There's so many comics out there that do jokes about what black people smoke, Pall Malls and Kools and all that, that I don't even know what white people were. Marlboros, Winston, Salem Lights. Is that what it was? My parents never smoked. I don't fucking know. So whatever. You take out a cigarette, right? So you got your bathrobe on. You got your fucking weight all on one leg with your hand on the same hip, right? Stirring yourself up a cup of Joe. All your maniac kids come down the stairs or up the stairs, and maybe halfway up the stairs if you and then they're on a landing at the front door if you lived in a split entry. I don't fucking know. I never understood the split entry. You know what I mean? The split entry is the house version of, you ever see those people that have like really long torsos? They have the torso of a 6'4" person, but the legs of a jockey. You know what I mean? That blue collar body. I always tease Rich Voss. He's got that body. Long ass fucking torso and these little doll legs. Right? Just that blue collar body. You're just built for picking up boxes. You don't even have to bend over. You just fucking, your arms almost dragging on the fucking ground. Well, the split entry, that's the house version of that body. So anyway, she makes you fucking fluff another sandwich. No, that's the lunch. I'm sorry. She fucking pulls out. What do you guys want? You want Frankenberry, Cocoa Berry, Choco Berry? No, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, or Boo Berry. Whatever the fuck you had, it turned the milk the color of the goddamn cereal. You ate that shit. She let you watch a couple of cartoons. She finishes off her fucking cigarette, stomps it out in that fucking ashtray, and then that's it. All right, go outside and play. Go outside and play. What the fuck did she do out there? Kids are outside, running around, meeting other kids, playing with matches, right? Stealing Playboys. Simple shit. There's no cell phones. There's no iPads. There's no fucking overhead. What did you have to buy your kid? For toys back then, there was nothing. Tonka truck, what did that set you back? Tonka truck and a book of matches. I mean, you were set for the fucking summer. So anyway, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking. I didn't even get on this thing. Oh, because I screamed the podcast like a mother yelling, that's right, down the fucking street. You know, nowadays, you got to sit there and you got to watch these little fuckers 24/7. Make sure they don't bump into anything. They all have cell phones. You know what I mean? Like they're working on Wall Street. You know? I don't fucking know. Who knows? They'll start microchipping them soon. Do you know somebody sent me an article about this this healthcare provider somewhere over in Europe that was giving out this band that had a microchip in it, and it tracked everybody that was insured. They were testing it out to track people that were insured by this healthcare provider, and it basically tracked your activity throughout the day. You know, and if you were just sitting around like a lump of shit, they were like, all right, this fucker's going to have a heart attack. We're raising his rates. And it's totally that George Orwell. Is it Orwell? Or do you make the popcorn? No, that was Orville Redenbacher. I don't fucking know. That Orwellian. I'm going to use that hacky thing. Slippery slope into the Orwellian something or other, right? And they were saying that they tried this fucking basically microchipping people out, tested trying the microchipping people, right? And that they said they had an overwhelmingly positive response to it. Well, of course you did. Of course you did. Because most normal people would be like, you want to do what? Go fuck yourself. That's creepy. I don't want you to do it. And then guess what? They're not in the study. Then what do? You find some fucking jerk-offs that don't have two nickels to rub together. And you say, listen, we'll get you a fucking ham sandwich with some cheese on it and whatever kind of chips you want with it if you wear this fucking bracelet. They're like, all you got to do is wear the bracelet. That's all you got to do there, stupid. And then in the end, they get a sandwich out of it. Of course, they're going to say they enjoyed it. This is the thing about getting microchipped in the future. It's inevitable that it's going to happen because as much as people are going to fight it, as many people that fight it and don't want it, you cannot you cannot overcome the sea of mouth breathing fucking Buffalo Wild Wing fucking morons that are out there. There's way too many of them. And they will walk towards the light every fucking time. All they got to do is flip on the switch, whatever direction they want the herd to go in, and they just start walking towards it. They just start walking towards it. They don't give a fuck. And this is the greatest thing about all of it, if you're one of the people running shit, right, is the mouth-breathing moron's opinion is held with the same level of importance as somebody who's actually intelligent or informed. You know what I mean? The guy who sits there going, dude, why do I give a fuck if they know whether or not I had a Slurpee or not? I ain't doing nothing. That's just as much fucking right and just as much say as someone, excuse me, who's fucking informed. You know, that's when they take the Constitution seriously and that everybody has rights. That's when the upper 1% listen to it and they go, hey, wait a minute. Don't be an elitist, right? But then when it comes to the other shit, when it's advantageous on the other end, then all of a sudden, no, we're, you know, you don't have as much say as I do, right? You know, I was on a plane, right? I'm in Austin, Texas right now, getting ready to do two wonderful shows here in this bat-infested town. Somebody had left in the pocket in the seat in front of me, right? The seat pocket in front of me, this book on a magazine that was just dedicated to yachting. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most fascinating fucking magazines I've ever read in my life. I don't know shit about the sea. I don't know shit about boats. But just looking at this magazine, knowing that there's like people that read that magazine getting to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to buy that yacht. So in the yacht world, what I learned, okay, and this is someone who doesn't know the difference between port and starboard. I'm going to guess port is right hand. No, left. Left is port, right is starboard. Because you read left to right. But they always make right above left in a religious way, right? He sat on the right hand of the Father. Could go either way. Bows up front, sterns in the back, port and starboard. I don't fucking know. I think port's left. Sounds really quick. Port. Left. Devil, right? Fuck you. You don't count. Starboard. Oh, that's what we all are. Anyways, let me plow ahead here. The whole fucking thing was about the size of your goddamn boat. Who's got the biggest fucking boat? And how big can these boats get? So right now, the biggest one out there, I've already forget the name of it. And that's another thing, too. The names of the boat are just as entertaining as trying to understand how somebody has $300 million for a fucking boat and doesn't immediately get audited. It's a fucking boat. That is just an absolute money pit. The second you buy that fucking thing, there is nothing you can do with that boat. I guess you could rent it out, you know, to Jay-Z and Beyonce. God knows they're always out on a fucking boat, right? Dressed in all white linens. How could you make fucking money off of that? This thing was like, the biggest one they had was almost 600 fucking feet. And what I learned is that basically a yacht cost $1 million a meter. Now we're going from standard to metric, and I've just completely fucked myself here. But as far as I know, that fucking boat, basically it costs like what Seinfeld made when the entire series went into syndication. All of that money, $500 million for a fucking boat. And then you got to have like, you need like 100 people just to run it. That's the funniest shit. So even when you're on it, like, honey, let's just take the boat out. Just you and us, you know, let's reconnect. Just you and us, you and us and 100 other fucking people. Right. It's like you're doing an episode of The Love Boat, but nobody else showed up except for the whole crew. It's got to be weird knowing they're all listening to you fucking, right? some guy, you know, 200 fucking yards away, wherever the fuck he is, with a big, dumb, tall hat, making you a sandwich. He's got all this extra food. It's just for you and your wife. Anyways, I was reading that, and I was just like, how the fuck could anybody legally make enough money? And I was trying to think of the ways. Well, you could start Facebook. Even then, that dude from Facebook, what is he worth? Let's say he's worth $3 billion. Are you going to blow $500 million on a boat? That's still a sizable chunk of your fucking fortune. You know what was the coolest part of the magazine? Was on the front. Like, you know, it was somebody's personal magazine, obviously. And there was where, like, the address was supposed to be. It was taken away. Was torn off. And I was like, I was wondering, like, where they lived. You know? 666 Illuminati Court. Connecticut. Someplace in Connecticut. I always feel like the Illuminati lives in Connecticut. Right? And then they, like, helicopter into Manhattan. No, it doesn't even make any noise. Whoosh, like, they got some stealth helicopters. I'm really going off the fucking rails here, aren't I? So you got to be asking yourself, well, Bill, well, you know, you're sitting here crying poorhouse. Why the fuck are you sitting in a section of the plane that has yachting magazines left behind? You know why? Because I did 23 years on the fucking road and I got miles, baby. I got status. I got status. Fuck you. I flew in the back of the plane for 20 fucking years with you goddamn animals. Okay, and I got the fucked up left knee to prove it. I'm never sitting back there again with you animals. I swear to God, I'm never doing it again. You know why? Because I think I'm too good for you. Anyways, let's get to the let's do some reads here. Now I got to fucking type in my goddamn password. What the fuck? I hate how you got to have some capitals in there too. You know. Because then what? You know, then it takes for fucking ever and ever and ever. And then he... Well, how the fuck is that? Every time I go to type in my password, it's fucking wrong. Nope. And I left it on the capitals. This is how long it takes for me to type them. I'm still trying to do it. And now I'm sitting... And see, this is how fucking dumb I am. And I sit at the front of the plane now. That should give you hope. Did I do it right? No. Wait a second. All right. Capital. No. Capital. There we go. No capital. Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill. Come on. Give me a winner. Give me a winner and hit it. Yeah. All right. Let's do some advertising here. Sorry about that. All right, everybody. Dollar Shave Club, everyone. Stop shaving with an old razor. It's gross. It's disgusting. You're better than that. All right. Why are you torturing yourself with a gross old blade every week after week? Huh? What's wrong with you? Don't you love yourself? Or it's probably because you don't want to shell out $20 for a pack of new ones, do you? Your face isn't worth $20. Well, you know what? The people at Dollar Shave Club have revolutionized the way men shave, okay? You're too cheap to save your face. Well, here's Dollar Shave Club to save the day. With Dollar Shave Club, you can shave with a fresh blade. Oh, it smells delicious. As often as you want, because they deliver a whole sleeve of amazing razors just for a few bucks a month. A whole sleeve, everybody. Just like that sleeve of Oreos you ate last night, except they're razors. Their razors are so good, millions of guys have joined. I think it's because they're so cheap, personally. Even the billion-dollar razor corporations are freaking out. But instead of lowering their bloated prices, they're trying to fool you into milking the same blade for an entire month. And that's gross. They've price gouged us for long enough. Never go back to squeezing weeks and weeks of shaves out of a disgusting rusty blade. Join Dollar Shave Club and use a fresh blade whenever you want. Jesus, these words are difficult for me. It feels amazing, and it's a third of the price. Join the millions of others who figured out the smarter way to shave. Join Dollar Shave Club now by going to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Hey! DollarShaveClub.com/burr. All right. LegalZoom, everyone. You know what? You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. but the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Well, you can start with LegalZoom. I feel like I should be sitting on the front of a desk as I say this in some office with a bunch of books behind me. And right at this point is the part where I stand up. You know, they make it easy for more than a decade. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me, regular down-to-earth people like you and me. Hey, you can relate to me, the speaker here, to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. It's not a law firm, then why do you call yourself LegalZoom? Hey, Eddie Applecart, we don't sell apples. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get a transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporations, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They got the right people on hand to answer your goddamn questions. If you need legal help, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. In other states, you're screwed. But most states, you're going to be fine. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter Burr in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. Hey! LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. Lastly, but certainly not leastly, Stamps.com. Your to-do list can seem out of control. So much to do, but so little time. But here's one thing you can do that you can check off your to-do list. Going to the post office. Thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage right from your own computer or printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale. Automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any letter or package and any class of mail. You'll never waste valuable time going to the post office again. Do everything right from your desk with Stamps.com. Print the postage you need to put in your letter or package, then just hand it to your mail carrier and you're done. I use Stamps.com whenever I'm selling posters, you know, whoring myself out after the shows, standing there next to sweaty drunk people who are taller than me, with armpit sweat that they stick on my shoulder. Right now, use my last name, Burr, for this special offer. 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. You click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and you type in Burr. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. Stamps.com. Enter Burr. Excuse me, sir. Yes, you. Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right, that was sort of painless, wouldn't you think? Let me close this. No, I don't want to save that. I don't want to save that at all. All right, so let's get back to the podcast here. Let's talk football. What a satisfying weekend that was for me as a football fan, everybody. First of all, Saturday night, I went to a wonderful wedding. And afterwards, we went to the after party. We were in a fucking sports bar. And we were on the island of Nantucket. And I got to watch, from the third quarter on, I got to watch Mississippi. Ole Miss beat Alabama. The dream ends tonight. I got to watch them beat them, man. And I don't know why it is so much fucking fun to watch Alabama lose. Like I've said, I don't hate them. I actually like Nick Saban, but there's something about him. You know what I mean? It's just like how everybody hates the Patriots. I get it. We've won too much. We're fucking annoying. You know? I actually met somebody that was, you know, we were talking about all that Patriots cheating shit, and he brought up some other fucking great ones. Evidently, there's pictures of Jerry Jones, the owner of the fucking Dallas Cowboys, getting off a party bus hammered with, like, the head guy of all officiating in the NFL. And I just laughed, thinking if there was a picture of Robert Kraft doing that, how long that fucking story would last. that and that time the Cowboys got caught with for collusion with the Redskins to keep their free agent signings down so they could field better teams. I mean, they just, you know, that's fine. That's not cheating. It's all good. It's all good. It's just the Patriots. Anyways, so I got to watch them lose. What a fucking game, man. And the pictures of the fucking Alabama fans when they would cut to the crowd when they were starting to sense that they were going to lose, like, you just have to respect how much it means. The look of devastation. You see that kid who was just fucking, that dude who was just bent over the fucking wall? I thought he was dead. It just, I watched that shit and I just fucking, that's why I love sports. Because it's so fucking stupid that we give a shit to that goddamn level. Yet we do. And I love watching SEC football because, I don't know, there's a level of passion of the fans. And I know I break the Alabama fans' balls. I don't give a fuck if you win another championship. I actually kind of in one way want to see Saban do it and win the most just to see, just so I can say that I watched the greatest college coach of all time. But in the meantime, every time you play, I can't root for you. If I look, if I was born in Alabama, you know, in Crimson Tide country, and I was raised a fucking Alabama fan, and I went through that brutal period after Bear Bryant left, and that program went into the shitter, and I suffered through all those years, then I could be excited about them being good again. But I can't come from a pro sports fucking town and just jump on the bandwagon. But what I can do is fucking root for the underdog, which I did. So congratulations to Ole Miss. I can't imagine how fucking crazy you guys went celebrating in Mississippi. I hope it didn't gradually turn into a fucking race riot and you guys, you know, wanting to start the fucking Civil War again. Hopefully you kept it tame. You know what I mean? Just tipped over a couple of cars and burned down some old trees or whatever the fuck you do down there. But I got to watch that. And I was actually traveling to Austin and I got to watch the first quarter of the Patriots game. And, you know, it was just fucking great. Just watching, you know, we're going to be the loudest fans and then having nothing to cheer about because all of a sudden it's 21-7 Patriots after the Bills just walked down the fucking field. Totally fucking enjoyed that. And once again, this has nothing to do with Bills fans. It just has to do with the fact that the amount of shit that Bill Belichick gets for having no personality, you know? Like, these fucking sports journalists don't know exactly what Belichick's doing. They know that he's figured them out. They know it. And he's not going to let them in. He's not giving them any bulletin board material, I should say. And Rex Ryan, they always say, oh, you know, this guy, you know, he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. That's how they paint him. They just egg him on to keep saying dumb things. You know what I mean? I don't, for the life of me, I don't know why Rex Ryan talks the level of shit that he does, but I'm so happy that he does it. I'm so happy that he does it. It's just like, there you go, Rex. There you go. Piss off Tom Brady. See how that works for you. How does almost 500 yards passing, how does that feel this morning there, Rex? Keep talking shit. You know what it is? I really feel because his level of insecurity outweighs actually even winning the game, that he has to shout down his own fucking demons. Having said that, you know, as much as I give Rex shit, I know he's a great coach. I can't say great. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. So he's a really good coach. And he has a great defense. And they're going to make their adjustments. I think actually next game will actually be even closer, obviously. It's kind of weird. Like his shit talking made that a close game because the Patriots, rather than just handing the ball off and running out the fucking clock, we kept throwing the fucking ball because it wasn't enough to beat them by 21 fucking points. We wanted to beat them by 28 to 35. So actually his shit talking, if you looked at the end of the game, the fact that, you know, the game wasn't that fucking close, you know, that it was that we only won by 8. We kicked the shit out of them. And then like dopes, we kept throwing the fucking ball, putting us in a position to give it right back to them, which we did. And then you go into the prevent, and then all of a sudden this fucking inept quarterback who throws the ball fucking 90 feet over everybody's fucking head all day long all of a sudden looks like Joe Montana. So, I don't know. I'm psyched that that happened. And, you know, I hope, you know, when the Patriots go to play him again, I hope Rex talks a bunch more shit, which you know he will, which will get the Patriots even more motivated to beat them. I just don't understand it. And these stupid fucking, if you really listen to the guy, he's not saying anything. The players on his team, they're not saying anything. It's just stating the obvious. You know, we're not afraid, okay? They're not going to just step off the bus and we're going to give them the win. You know, we're coming out there to compete. Oh, are you? Did you not compete? Did last week you didn't try? It's the fucking NFL. You should be doing that every fucking week. To steal Kevin McHale's great quote way back in the day when he played for the Celtics. I remember, you know, they were in some playoff series and they kicked the shit out of the other team the first game. And then some of the other team starts talking shit going, you know, we're not fucking around. They better be ready because next game we're coming. We're coming. And Kevin McHale goes, you should be doing that every night. This is the NBA. It's fucking hilarious. Anyways, so there you go. Keep talking shit, everybody out there. And Buffalo fans, my condolences. You know what I mean? I know Rex is a very charismatic guy and you wanted to believe him. You wanted to believe him. I know. I know you did. You know what's great about the Patriots winning is now I don't have to hear from Shred and Reagan out there in Buffalo. And I hope somebody sends you this fucking clip there, fellas. How you guys doing? How many times did you guys almost fucking set up a phone call with me? Shred and Reagan, two of my favorite people in the radio biz here, you know, as I travel the country. These fucking guys are always, they only call me when Buffalo beats, you know, what do you got? You got the Sabres and the Bills. You don't got a lot out there. If they beat the Bruins in like a playoff series, which I can't even remember when that fucking happened. Or if the Bills have beat us like twice. I remember when Drew Bledsoe went to the Bills and they won that home game when they beat the crap out of us. I got a phone call then. And then when there was one other time. It's hilarious. And all they do is just talk about what a piece of shit Bill Belichick is and all that. And I just laugh at him. So I got to think after that opening drive when you went 80 yards, went right down the field. Your index finger was quivering. We got to call him. Hit send. Wait a minute. Patriots go right down the field. Give you all the old right there, Fred. Three and out. Go right back down the field. Another right there, Fred. Right? Another three and out for you guys or a pick, whatever the hell it was. Malcolm Butler's amazing interception. Malcolm Butler. Right? It's fucking wonderful. So, anyways, I got to tell you, you got to put Matt Castle in. You know what I mean? Matt Castle did great with us when he was managing the Patriots while Tom Brady was out, right? So I still don't think, that, you know, if we go and play the Bills again, that we definitely win the game because they got Matt Castle. I still think, and I know that Rex is a good enough coach if he has a good defense, but I think the great thing's going to be if he just keep talking shit, Rex. Keep talking shit. You know how dumb it is to talk shit in a professional sports league? You know what I mean? Like you're actually intimidating somebody else. Those are professionals. They're not afraid of you and your Nutrisystem, Rex. They don't give a fuck. Oh, you're going to blitz? All right, so whatever. So I got to watch that shit, and that was very enjoyable for me. And it was wonderful. I got a bunch of tweets from fucking Buffalo fans taking on the personality of their head coach and just watch them slowly drop off after that opening drive. You know, it's so funny. And then to watch them slowly come back as we almost fucked up the end of the game and then to just watch them disappear again. It was really enjoyable. You know, it's like when I was in Nantucket hearing the surf. That's all it is. That beginning sound is Bills fans before the game. That end sound is them at the end. So anyways, old Freckles has got to get back on the wagon. So I'm totally off my diet. I drank like a fish last week, like a maniac, to the point yesterday when I was walking through the airport, I had like heartburn and everything like that because I ate stuff that I had not eaten in the entire time I was, you know, dieting, trying to lose the weight. I was drinking beers. I was smoking cigars. I was eating chips, ice cream, the whole wedding cake, the whole fuck. I just chowed. And so yesterday was the big day. Well, yesterday I was like, you know, I'm going to be traveling all day in airports, so you know I'm not going to eat healthy. So I just was like, all right, well, we got a three-headed monster here. We got sugar, salt, and booze going on right now. Let's chop one head off. So I was just like, all right, no booze today. So, and I'm doing this run of dates through Texas. So there's some friends coming out tonight. So tonight I'm going to have a couple of drinks. The rest of the week I'm having none. And then in Toronto, I have some friends up there and I'll probably have a couple of drinks. But the second that is over, I am back on the wagon again, for at least until mid-October, if not until the night of the Madison Square Garden show, depending on how I feel. I actually think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go after this thing is over. Right? I'm drinking two times on this trip. Then I'm back on the wagon, except for on October 17th. I'm back on the wagon until Madison Square Garden. That's how it's going down. October 17th. Why? Why are you going to drink that day? Because I'm going to, I'm going to fucking Notre Dame, USC. I'm starting to run a dates through the Midwest to get ready for the Madison Square Garden show. And why not start it off at arguably the most legendary football program in the country? Right? The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So legendary, they've been on national television, even though they've sucked every fucking weekend for the last 15 years. They've been on the tube. So I'm going to that game. So, and when I get, I'm going to try to eat as well as I can on this tour. And when I get back, I'm going right back to that psycho fucking diet because, it took me too goddamn long and too much bullshit to lose all this fucking weight that, I don't want to go back. So, you know what's helping me is to actually tell you guys that I'm doing it. Because if I don't tell you, if I just do this in my head, then I can slack off. There's nobody to give me shit. But if I tell you guys that I'm going to do it, then you guys can turn the tables on me and be like, hey, Bill, we're just checking in on you. You know, to see how you're doing there. All right. So anyways, when I was, here's another thing. I'm done with fish. I'm not eating fish anymore because there's none left is basically what I learned because I've been going to Nantucket and I've gone out and gone fishing every single time. And every single time I've gone, it's been harder and harder and we've had to throw the lines deeper and deeper to try to get fish. And there's just fucking nothing left. And I was talking to this guy and he was talking about what are all these fishing areas up in New England that people thought would never be fished out. He said are completely fished out. And, that's something that I wish they would just say. You know, in this presidential election, that they would be like, hey, why doesn't everybody just lay off fish? Go real easy on the fish for like the next fucking decade. Let's just let them come back. There's nothing wrong with eating fish, but there's too many fucking people. Let's just fucking lay off it. We can make cows and chickens. We can force them to fuck each other, you know, and we can eat those. And lamb and all of that shit. But like the fish, you know, what are we doing here? You just let them come back. Like, I got to tell you, like, once we kept pulling up blues, I guess, which don't taste good. So we'd throw them back. I really did not enjoy it when I think about it. And then we ended up pulling up these fluke. Who the fuck eats fluke? We're just doing it to pad our fucking stats and then brought it in. I felt we took way too much fish than we were actually going to eat. Just so you could have the fun of fishing. It's just, there's always that thing. Anytime I've gone fishing that I always feel like there's that tipping point where it's like, all right, we've caught our dinner and now we're just killing shit just to kill shit. And, I always feel like a fucking chimpanzee then You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, we're acting like a bunch of apes. You know, if you watch, I fucking hate chimpanzees. I can't fucking stand them. When they do a real documentary on them, I see so much fucking sadistic human behavior in them. The way, you know, when they go out and they kill another monkey. You know, I watched one time just standing on the thing's fucking back, just digging into its back, pulling out flesh. It could have just killed it, but it was actually getting off on hearing the other thing screaming. And I just, there's so much fucking sadistic human behavior in it. I hate them. And I just felt like when we were still pulling the fish out just to be doing it, I felt like we were a bunch of chimps, like we should have been doing that, you know, walking around that weird chimp walk, fucking punching our chests, you know. Maybe I'm over fucking reacting, but I got to tell you, my favorite part of the fishing trip, other than watching one of the guys I was with pull in this beautiful bass, fucking gorgeous fish that I knew we were going to cook up and eat and that would feed all of us. Was when there was a school of porpoises that was swimming along the boat. I actually took video. You know something? I don't know how to do it. I'll give it to my guy. Maybe he'll be able to upload it correctly. But that was the best part of it, personally. It was fucking amazing, man, watching those things cutting through the water like a goddamn sports car. That was the best part. But killing the fluke, when we were taking up the fluke, man, those stupid flat fish, I just felt like I was beating up a three-year-old. So anyways, let's do some of the reads here for this week. Oh, hey, by the way, if you want to send in a question here to the podcast, the way you send it is to Bill@themmpodcast.com, and that's all lowercase except for the M's in MM Podcast. Bill@themmpodcast. Did anybody watch the Emmys last night? I didn't watch them. I was traveling, and evidently somebody gave some powerful speech. Some woman gave a speech about racism and all that, and of course the crowd went fucking crazy. And I don't fucking get that moment when somebody black is on stage, right? And they talk about how racist Hollywood is and how it needs to stop. The level, like the white people in the crowd almost like trip over themselves to stand up and applaud. And it always comes off so fucking phony to me. Like the level that, yeah, the level that they're screaming and applauding and crying and doing all this fucking bullshit. It's just like, you guys are the guys who are running the shit. I'm not talking about the actors, but there's like showrunners in the crowd. There's heads of studios and all that. It's like, if you really gave a fuck to the level that you're acting like you're giving a fuck, the person on stage wouldn't have to be making this speech. I think it's so fucking, I think that they're jumping up and they're applauding at that fucking level because they don't want to get caught on camera not clapping. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that all white people are bad. All right? I'm not saying that shit. But I don't fucking get that moment. I feel like whiteys like me in that moment, rather than applauding wildly, should be going like, all right, you got us. You're right. We got to work better. We got to work harder on that one. Sorry about that. And instead of standing there applauding as if you're not part of the problem, you know what I mean? See, even myself, as much as I feel like things should be fair, I don't do anything about it. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to keep my boat afloat, right? That's actually kind of funny when you think about it. When you think about how cutthroat show business is, the most honest things that white people could do at that point would not be to applaud. They would be like, wait a minute, this business is hard enough for us with it being completely unfair and tilted in our favor. Why would I applaud to level it out? Like, yeah, make it harder for me. I'm a fucking balding red-headed male. I need it to be slanted in my favor as much as possible. That would be the most honest moment. the most honest reaction. But everybody doesn't. They all stand up and freak out. And this is what really pisses me off, is they then think that, yeah, I'm a good person because I just did that. This person is going through this shit. They said they're sick of going through this shit. And now I'm going to stand up and applaud and be like, that's right. You shouldn't have to go through that shit. Okay, now I'm going to sit back down again and be white. I'm still waiting for somebody, even if it's a feminist, anything, to be up there standing and be like, why are you applauding right now? Are you going to do anything about this? You know what I mean? And human beings are all selfish. And when, you know, most part, you're not. I don't know. Maybe are they? I don't. Maybe I'm just fucking pessimistic. I have no idea. All right, let's plow ahead here. All right, American people in their clubs. Hi, Bill. Wanted to ask about you guys across the pond and the way you support your clubs. All right, first of all, we call them teams. All right, just to let you know, if you want to blend in, if your government ever goes belly up and you sneak into this country and you don't want to be found out, you know, that you're an illegal alien, you say teams, you don't say clubs. And vice versa. When the dollar collapses, I'll go over there and be like, all right, who you support? What club you support, mate? All right. Put another shrimp on the barbie. Shagadelic, baby. I'll just start quoting awful American movies. To me, it looks like you support anyone you fancy anywhere in the U.S. It seems you support about five teams in five different sports. Over in Blighty, we support only like one sport and you keep to it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Can you fucking pat yourself? Oh, yeah, we're fucking loyal over here. Really? What else are you going to do over there? The fuck else are you going to do over in Australia? Don't give me any bullshit because I've been to your fucking country. Unless you're in Melbourne, there ain't shit to do. Sydney, Jesus Christ. Sydney is like Sacramento, California. All right? The whole middle of your country is full of the most evil fucking poisonous shit ever. Right? You can't even go there. That's what AC/DC's Highway to Hell was about, wasn't it? Driving from Perth all the way through that fucking shit. Jesus fucking Christ. All right, let's see. Usually soccer/football is what you support, but the richer you are, the sport changes. Example, rugby, tennis, and so on. Those are for rich people, evidently. For most people, you support one team and you live no more than 30-mile radius, or at least to your top league team, unless you're a glory supporter, which means a bandwagoner, I guess. So my question is, are all American glory hunters, or is there a way of doing things the novice can't see? Go fuck yourself. Yeah, you dope. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I support all the Boston teams. The Patriots, as far as like, we have four professional sports, and I can't help it that we have more over here. See, the middle of our country, we're able to grow enough food to feed the world. You guys, the middle of your country, you have enough poisonous shit to murder everybody in the world. Maybe that's why your teams are only 30 miles a fucking way. You're trying to shorten the travel to the stadium so nobody fucking dies. So the four major sports over here are football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. And I support all the Boston teams. Those are my favorite teams. They always have been. Now, since I have a job where I have all this free time, you know, I can watch golf majors. I can watch tennis majors. I can watch college football. I can watch college hoop. I can't watch it and pay attention to it the level that I pay attention to football and hockey. You can't even with the four major sports. Like, basically, somebody who watches and pays attention, like, to baseball and football, then has to make a choice with basketball or hockey. Like, there's football, baseball, and basketball fans. There's football, baseball, and hockey fans. And for the most part, the way the seasons overlap now, it's becoming football and basketball, football and hockey. Or maybe some people are just a hardcore, like, baseball fan. You know, that's basically what it is. But we definitely have glory supporters, you call them, or bandwagon fans. There's a lot of bandwagon Yankee fans. There's a lot of bandwagon, like Dallas Cowboy fans when they're good. You know, there's just certain teams that are like, I don't know, they have like national appeal. But no, for the most part, yeah, you go and people support the teams that are in their area. I don't know what you're seeing or if you hear me because I talk about all these different sports. I mean, I have to, or unless I just want to do like a Boston podcast, which kind of limits. I mean, this podcast is Boston enough. I don't want to fucking, you know, eliminate all that other shit, right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I think we just got a bunch of great sports over here, and it's fun to fucking watch, but I don't think that people are necessarily any more bandwagon over here. Well, I can't say than over there because I don't know what the fuck goes on over there. But as usual, you're not from the United States, and you did what most foreigners do, is you, in a very insulting way, shitting all over America, you try to act like you're trying to get information as you shit all over us. But the great thing about my job is I've been to where you're at and I've smelt your shit and it smells no differently. So go fuck yourself. Anyways, Aussie rules. Good day, Blinky Bill. No, I don't think that there's any more. Well, like I said, I guess I don't know how many fucking people are glory supporters over there. All right, let's continue. All right, last week you got an email from a fellow Australian fan who asked you to explain the rules of American football. In return, you asked an Aussie to explain our own brand of football. So here goes. Oh, Jesus. By the way, I should have just said American football. You know, you got two ends of the field. Both teams defend the end of the field that's to their backs. All right? The other team gets the fucking ball. All right? If they run it into the end zone, or throwing into the end zone, they get 6 points, followed by an extra point where they kick it through the uprights for 1 point. All right? If you drive down the field, stalls, you can try to kick the ball through the uprights, and you get 3 points. If you don't think you can make it, you punt the ball. That's it. That's all I should have said. Going through the whole first down, second down, all that is too much. All right. Australian rules, that's chapter two. All right. Australian rules football was invented in Melbourne, Victoria, in the 1870s. Yes, that long ago. Well, why did you think that I was going to think that was a long time ago? Baseball was invented in the 1880s. There's always that insulting, like, fucking, like, in the United States, you don't fucking know. Whoa, 1870s? People were alive back then? And is a competition between 18 teams from around the nation. Each team plays 22 games between April and September. And then the top eight teams on the ladder play finals football during September and into October. All right, so it's playoff time. Winning a game gets the team 4 premiership points, and losing it gets you nothing. AFL is played on a large oval, about 150 meters from goal to goal. There really aren't any set dimensions for the field of play, as the ovals over in Perth are known to be wider than the fields in Victoria and South Australia. Well, back in the day in the NHL, hockey rinks were different sizes. Boston had a smaller rink, so we more had like grinders, you know, physical players. And then other places, you know, if they had a bigger rink, they went more for fucking speed. And then teams used to do shit like if the other team was fast, they wouldn't fucking, they'd have the ice be a little more slushy and all that type of shit. All that type of shit, you know. Anyways, so here we go. Anyways, now to the actual rules. Like in the NFL, there are some set point players. But for now, let's just break them into defenders, midfielders, and forwards. The ball is bounced in the center of the ground at the start of play or after a goal is scored. And the opposing ruckman, that was in quotes, jump to try and tap the ball to their midfielder's advantage, quite like basketball. To dispose of the ball, a player must either kick it or handball it, which is essentially holding the ball in one hand and punching it with the other. A player cannot throw the ball, but can kick or handball in any direction. The ball must be bounced while a player is running with it. Like in basketball, but only like every 10 paces. If the ball is kicked outside the field of play, this is actually interesting because I've watched the game and I'm picturing these fuckers running around. Now I kind of get it. If the ball is kicked outside the field of play on the full, what the fuck is that? A free kick is awarded to the other team. If it goes out of bounds after bouncing along the ground, the boundary umpires just throws it in. What the fuck is the full? The ball is kicked outside the field of play on the full. A free kick is awarded to the other team. A free kick what? To kick it between those posts or to kick it to your other team? I don't fucking know. If a player catches the ball, it is called a mark. And the umpire referee will blow his whistle and award this player a few seconds to explore his options and then kick on. If the player moves past the line, I've seen all of this shit. Yeah, they all clear out. If the player moves past the line where he marked the ball, the umpire calls play on, and the player can then be tackled by the opposition. If he is tackled with the ball and does not get rid of it legally, it's called holding the ball, and the tackler gets a free kick. What? Don't you mean then the tackler gets a free kick? However, if the tackler falls on the victim's back or makes head-high contact, a free kick is awarded to the player he was tackling. Jesus Christ, dude, this is way too much information. It's still going to go. He's still going here. In order to score, a player must kick the ball through his team's center goalpost. If he does this, it's worth 6 points. However, if he misses to either side, the ball goes through the behind the post, it's worth just 1 point. Oh, yeah, because you guys got the two tall ones and then the two smaller ones, right? Usually goals are scored from inside a team's 50-meter arc, but they don't have to be. Goals can be kicked by any player on the ground in any way you can imagine, as long as it comes off the foot and is not touched by another player. Lastly, a specky. A specky. Come on, KZ. They always have E at the end. Specky. Right, a specky. Lastly, I went to English to Aussie. Right. Specky. A specky is when one player jumps on the shoulders or back of another player to mark the ball. They are named appropriately because they are spectacular to watch. Yeah, that's a big thing. Like, they don't want to say the whole word. They just throw E at the end. Specky. It was a specky. Instead of saying spectacular. I think. Anyways, I've only been there a couple times. His players are often as high as 4 meters when they catch the ball. That's about a little more than 12 feet in the air. Thankfully, head-high contact does not apply to speckies. That's about it, Bill. Seems like a lot of rules when it's all written down, but I'm sure a seasoned sports pro like yourself could pick it up pretty quickly. Games are streamed on www.afl.com.au. Who knows? Maybe AFL could add some excitement to the dry months between hockey, basketball, and NFL. If you're looking for a team, I reckon you suit the Western Bulldogs. You love your dogs, obviously, but more than just that, they also play in the same colors as your Patriots, and they are based in a decent working-class area, just like your beloved Boston. Go love yourself, my friend. Thanks for reading, and thanks for years of laughs. All right. P.S. Blinky Bill is a much-loved Australian cartoon koala. Oh, I got to look that up. All right. Here comes a creepy one. She said rape. I had a videotape. All right. Talk about going from just some bullshit to about as heavy a topic as you could have. All right. Hey, Bill, I got a little question. Doesn't sound like a little question, dude. She said rape. I have videotape. All right. This all sounds crazy. All right. Last year, I had sex with a girl, and 2 days later, I was arrested, charged with rape. Luckily, I filmed it. I filmed it all as me and a friend had a threesome with her, so it's all good now. Wait a minute. All right, so if I'm to believe you, you and your friend had a threesome with this woman. You filmed it. Did she know you were filming it? Maybe because you filmed it, she then got afraid that you were going to show it to people, so then she did that. I have no fucking idea. There's too many. Or maybe you filmed it and she didn't know, which would make you a piece of shit, but then smart because she said it was rape and it wasn't. That's if I believe you. There's a lot of variables here. Luckily, I filmed it. at all, as me and a friend had a threesome with her, so it's all good now. Do you see how I have to still doubt this guy because of this thing? He had a videotape, the cops watched it, and he got off. I still have to act like she still had a case because it's rape. You know what I mean? I have to act like no guy ever gets accused of rape when he didn't rape. You know what I mean? I have to be like, you know what I mean? I got to be like those white people at the award shows. I have to stand up and applaud. But the whole thing stressed me out so bad that I had to quit my job. Yeah, I would think so. And I've gone to therapy ever since. Now I always wear a hidden recording device when I'm on a date with a girl. I got paid $1,000 because all of that happened. What, $1,000 in damages? The girl, on the other hand, didn't suffer a bit. She was apparently unstable and had reported 8 other cases of rape the same year. I was number 9. Still, the police showed up with 6 men, 2 cars, and made my room look like a scene from CSI. Well, they're just doing their job, dude. And as she was unstable, she didn't have to pay me or anyone. I got paid by the government. I was risking years behind bars. Yeah, and God knows what they would have done to you in there. I read something in the local paper by another one of her victims that was also proven innocent, was being hated on by my country's biggest feminist groups. Rape is serious, but this has to stop. What are your thoughts on this, Bill? Thank you for your answer. And consensually, fuck you. I think that's your situation. Is you're going to get caught up in after years of it going totally the other way, where they blamed the victim and said, "Well, what were you wearing? You were asking for it. What did you think was going to happen?" Now, you know, which obviously needed to stop. That now. Socially, it's gone from where they blamed the victim to, I mean, back in the day, they'd be like, well, you were drinking. What did you think was going to happen? They've gone all the way to the other side now, where it's just like, if she said she was raped, she was raped. So, which isn't a bad, what makes it a bad fucking thing is the fact that they put the accused name in the picture and everything in the fucking paper before anything has been proven. And I am an advocate of you protect both people until something has been proven, either innocence or guilt. All right? And if it's innocent, you let that person get back on with their life because you cannot shake that. It's over. The second you're accused of that shit, it's fucking over. You know, it's over. You are branded that for the rest of your fucking life. And when you have somebody out there, if they're fucking unstable and they're doing this for whatever fucking reason, I mean, God knows what horrible thing happened to this person that they're doing this. Or maybe they were born unstable. I have no fucking idea. But you know, the fact that, you know, you get $1,000, you're in therapy, you got to quit your fucking job and all that. I mean, look, who's kidding who, dude? All right? You had a fucking threesome. All right? You're videotaping the fucking thing. I mean, I don't know that you, I can't say you don't wear a fucking recording device. I totally understand why you would. I totally get that. But I would just say, why don't you, you know, try to date somebody a little more stable? I mean, you're going on dates versus, you know, hooking up with some crazy person who's having a threesome and letting you film the fucking thing. I mean, right there, dude. If you fucking, like, if you hook up with somebody, you don't fucking know them from Adam, and they're going to have a fucking threesome, and they're going to let you film the fucking thing. I mean, right there, I mean, the amount of red flags that should be flying in your face, you shouldn't even be seeing the person anymore. Here I am blaming you again. You're probably a young guy. You never had this. So you learned your fucking lesson here. I don't know, dude. Like, if secretly wearing a recording device, you know, makes you feel more comfortable, then I don't have a problem with it. I mean, dude, you I don't know if you ever heard, like, what happens to rapists in jail. You know, they're, like, hunted down. And fucking gang raped and all of that type of shit. It's fucking horrific. What could have happened to you just because she said that that happened? And those feminist groups that are doing that shit, I mean, they're basically exposing themselves for what they truly are. Is they're sexist. They're totally fucking sexist. Any woman says a guy does anything, they just totally have their fucking back. They don't give a shit. I mean, if this was this person, even in that year, said that, you know, someone raped and didn't, raped her and didn't. I mean, right there, they did a little bit of fucking where they just immediately back them. Let me guess, did they apologize to you at all? You know, I'm sure they didn't. Did they, as big as a fucking surge that they did online or wherever they were coming at you, when they apologized, which should have been even bigger, did they? I'm sure they didn't. You know? Because they're sexist cunts. They are. They don't give a shit. They sit there and they pat themselves on the back like they're these socially advanced fucking people, and they aren't. They're the exact fucking thing that they're fighting. The exact moron, sexist guy that thinks a woman should just be there to suck his dick and make him a sandwich, they are the female version of that. They are the female fucking version of it, generally fucking speaking. And I can speak in generalities considering how they treated you. All right, here we go. Telling a guitarist he's bad. Hey, Billy Bonzo. Bill, I love you and I need your help. All right, I am a 16-year-old guy from Egypt. That's so fucking cool, and you listen to this podcast. That's awesome. Yes, you have fans in Egypt. Anyway, I have been playing guitar for 2 years now, and I started a band with some friends. That's awesome. A drummer, a bass player, and another guitar player. Here's the problem. We're having trouble with the guitar player. He is flashy. He is a flashy fuck with no talent. He never practices enough, has very bad quality guitar and amp, learns solos only, and doesn't even play them correctly. And he wants me to play the rhythm section while he shits the lead parts. I don't have a problem in playing rhythm, but only if he can play well. To put his failure into perspective, he's been playing guitar for over 6 years, and most people tell me I'm way better than him. Not trying to be cocky or anything, just shitting on him more and more. Where I live, finding another guitarist who can actually play is very difficult, so it's hard to let him go while we have a gig coming in October. So should we let him go and find another guy? And if so, can we tell him that he is out? Ah, Jesus Christ, dude. There's a lot of variables in this one. All right, so if I am to believe that this guy stinks as much as you do, and not that this is some cliched in-band fighting where you're playing rhythm and he's playing lead, so all the chicks want to bang him afterwards, and you're standing there like, what about me? You know what I mean? Everyone wants to fuck Angus. Nobody wants to fuck Malcolm over here. You know? As long as it isn't that, this guy truly does suck, and if you're actually better than him, then why don't you turn yourselves into a power trio? You know? And then all you got to do is have your bass player and your drummer. We'll give them more space for when you're playing the lead. It would make you a better guitarist too, especially if there's some space within those leads, and then you could hit a couple of fucking the rhythm chords and then go in and out of the fucking, and make you a better guitarist. I mean, I can tell you right now, that if you think this guy's a flashy fuck with no talent and he's not practicing and he's been playing three times as long as you and you feel that you're better, I don't see you guys ever coming to a point where you're going to be happy with what the fuck he's doing. My only question is, though, you do need some showmanship in the band, I would think. Because sometimes somebody can be better than somebody else, but they stand there and they look like a fucking toad waiting for a fly to come by. And then at that point, you literally have to be a musician to understand how what they're doing. Because there is, you know, you also have to entertain people. So all his flashy shit, though, that could get you some gigs. You know what I mean? In the beginning, who knows? I don't know. You'd have to assess all of that. But if you, the drummer and the bass player, are all on the same page and you just think this guy's a flashy fuck who's not bringing anything to the band, then yeah, I'd bounce the guy. Maybe after your gig in October, if there's not enough time to find somebody new. maybe play one more fucking gig and then get rid of him. But if he's actually, you know, there's been a lot of flashy guys that couldn't quite fucking play, but they were fun to watch and the bands made it. So I don't know. That part of it is going to have to be up to you. But I think there's opportunity there for you to become an even better guitarist if you want to try to hold down his parts for a while until you find somebody else. And then you know what? You only have to split the gig money three ways instead of four. All I would say is if you're going to start playing leads, then I would steal a little bit of that guy's moves and his fashion scent. You know what I mean? You got to do a couple of things. You can't be standing back there fucking, I don't know. Like I said, like that toad on a lily pad. All right. Canadian politician wants to stunt population growth. Hey, Broccoli Bill, just saw this article about Elizabeth May, the leader of our Green Party, the number four political party in Canada, who supports reducing the world's population. Figure it's up your alley. That's amazing. Here's a link to her party platform. But since you suck at reading, here are a few of the main points of what she wants to do. That's hilarious. I was even struggling reading that sentence. One, integrate goals for reduced fertility in the overall effort to eliminate poverty. What does that mean? She wants to sterilize poor people? This does not sound green. This sounds like brown shirt. Realize that failure to stabilize and reduce human population will result in the inevitable reduction of human population by means of high death rates as the Earth's human carrying capacity is not only exceeded but reduced by the consumption of resources and the destruction of biological capital, resulting in poverty, starvation, disease, great human suffering, and possibly social disruption. Abso-fucking-lutely. Check all of those off. Integrate goals for improved health care and spreading knowledge of birth control methods and efforts that increase the availability of birth control equipment and supplies into the overall efforts to eliminate poverty. Four, recognize that the high level of per capita resource consumption in developed countries makes the impact of their population much more serious. Stoked to see you in Toronto for a couple weeks just for laughs, and thanks for the podcast, you dope. Well, speaking of stupid, you're going to fucking see me next week, unless this is left over from a while ago. You're actually going to see me this week, so it's not a couple of weeks. What I think needs to be done is I think that there just needs to be, from top to bottom, information on what the human population is doing to the oceans, to the air, to the trees, to all of that type of shit. And at this point, this is not even tree hugger shit. This is just literally fact. There just needs to be way less fucking people. And if you just, like, I was going to say prognosticated. Is that actually a word? If you just projected, if you just showed what the fuck we're headed towards and you scared the fuck out of people and you somehow, this is why it's not going to work. You got to get everybody on the same page and you got to get people to not act selfishly. It's like if there's a fucking plane crash, right? Into the fucking mountains, and the survivors are sitting there and they pool together all the resources they have and they're all on the same team. No matter what, there's always going to be that person who's out for themselves. Okay. And that's just in a group of fucking 20 people. So if you just factor that in into 7 billion people, the amount of people that are out there for themselves, I don't think that it works. And I think that we are doomed to that second paragraph where there's, resulting in poverty, starvation, disease, great human suffering, and possible social disruption. I think that that's going to happen. I think the upper 1% realizes that, and I think they're insulating themselves from that inevitability by pooling the resources for themselves, turning places into police states, getting rid of rights, and living in gated communities. They are all set, all right? They are all set for all of that shit to happen. And that's just my paranoid fucking two cents. Anyways, so that's the podcast here for this week. I'll send you that video of the porpoises swimming through the ocean while they're still there. And what else? I think that's it. I got to run a dates this week, man. If you're in Texas, all right, I'm going to be in Austin for two shows tonight. I'm going to be in San Antonio. I'm going to be in Dallas. I'm going to be in Houston. Is that it? I think that is it. No El Paso on this run. No College Station. No Corpus Christi. None of that shit. So, you know, you might have to drive a little bit. But I'm driving all over the heart of Texas. And on Sunday, I'm going to be at the Just for Laughs in Toronto. I got a whole new hour of shit. I am rested up, sort of, from my week out there in Nantucket, and I'm not really rested up. I smoked a fucking cigar every day. I smoked two on one day, and I am fucking spent. But that'll give me fuel for my stand-up act. So anyways, I think that's it. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I'll check you on Thursday. See you.